I think what this country misses in this argument is when they emphasize childcare and they emphasize that we cannot kill an innocent fetus. What they don't realize is that baby is going to be born. Where are our child care laws?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on in the schools with guns right now?
Right.
That's preservation of life.
Right.
Is the show for me and you? The one you love to listen to. And ooh, you got your friend, see it through. Zeke's laughter is medicine too.
Hey, I'm Angela Edge, and this is The Edge Show.
I'm Wendy Love Edge, and the opinions expressed by our guest are not necessarily those of Edge Productions. This is Season 7, Episode 7, Abortion and Women's Autonomy. How you doing, Angela?
Okay. weren't we going to copy and paste that every week?
Oh, that's right. I completely forgot.
Okay, so far.
That's good. I'm doing pretty well. This evening I went for a little swim because it was so hot and humid here in Massachusetts, even though it's not as hot and humid as it is in Arkansas. For some reason, it just has felt so hot here.
It seems like every week we're talking about the weather.
There's
going to be a climate change episode soon.
I think we're leading up to that.
Yeah. So yeah, this week we're talking about women's autonomy and abortion, right?
Yes, we are. And I had the opportunity to interview Reverend Erica Eckensberger about the topic. It's a complicated topic. I think sometimes those who are not in favor of women having that right try to kind of make it a very simple topic. You know, this is murder. We can't do this, right? But it's actually far more complicated than that. And, you know, I think what's really upsetting to me is that young women coming of age now are going to have less rights than their mothers did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never saw that coming.
I know. How can you take away something like a right that was given to you? It just doesn't make sense to me. I think every woman should have the right to choose. That's my opinion.
So I was reading something that really has stayed with me from fertilization on now. Mm-hmm. A woman has no rights to speak of. You know, a woman should have the same autonomy over her body that a man has over his. But if from fertilization on, you are not in charge of what happens to your body, then you do not have autonomy. And it's just really frightening because, you know, as we've talked about on the show, you know, overturning Roe versus Wade is just sort of the beginning of removing other rights like privacy, LGBTQ plus rights. And so what should be between a woman and her doctor now is sort of between lawmakers and a woman. And it just doesn't make any sense at all. And, I wanted to interview Reverend Eckensberger for this episode because people make it about God and about religion.
Right.
But I really have felt all along that it really doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with controlling women, you know?
I think that most women that are against another woman making their own choice in this situation, my belief is truly that they've been brainwashed by the patriarchal Christian fundamentalist in this nation. And most of those women have grown up and or been brainwashed by the church. That's my opinion. Everyone I know in the South that are very strict, extreme Christian radicals, they will vote on one issue, no matter who is running. And I hate saying pro-life because it's not really pro-life when you're taking away the life of an adult woman.
The words pro-life are really interesting to me because, yeah, not only are they not showing any concern, compassion, or care for the woman who's pregnant, who may be suffering from health mm-hmm. issues, emotional issues, whatever it happens to be, she's not feeling like this pregnancy is something she can continue with. And it's a really hard decision.
In most of these cases, it's a decision that the woman doesn't even want to have to make.
Right. Anyone I know that has had an abortion still agonizes over it for one reason mm-hmm. or another, years and years and years later. It's not something that most women take lightly. And sometimes are deeply saddened by having to make that decision.
Right.
But she should be able to make the decision because it's her body. Yeah. And, you know, I just will never understand. And when you mention other women being on board with taking the right away from other women, you know, I don't
right.
understand how they can be okay with that.
Okay, so I know in my household growing up, they had Christian TV on 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And on these stations, they would show these terrible, awful propaganda videos
mm-hmm.
about abortion and like show these like fully developed fetuses in the womb being sucked out, like gory details. And my mom watched that.
That's horrible.
I mean, yeah. They have these terrible propaganda videos about it. It's fiction. And so she will never vote for anyone who is pro-choice ever because of all that.
Well, I think, you know, growing up in the Northeast, now it doesn't mean that there aren't people here who are against abortion. There certainly are.
Mm-hmm.
But there is more... more people who are pro-choice and more people who would be considered liberal or Democrat, you know, not in all cases, but I never yeah. saw any of that. And I certainly wasn't watching Christian television.
Yeah. Even during Halloween here at one of the big churches, they have what they call like Hell Week or something. Mm-hmm. And people line up to go through this Hell House thing. And it's like one of the things, you know, oh, a gay person and being drugged to hell, or a girl who just aborted her baby and being drugged to hell. I mean, they like pummel fear into everyone's hearts. I can't believe that people don't know this is going on. When I was younger, we went to church camp and they would have plays about it. And it just totally like tugs on your heartstrings. So yeah.
Also, it's brainwashing because and manipulation is an over mm-hmm. and over again.
Fear. It's fear-based religion.
Rather than talking about the facts and giving people the scientific information and talking mm-hmm. about it as a healthcare choice, there's all this fear and propaganda around it.
Like there are women who are stuck carrying around their baby who has died in the womb, and the doctor will not do an abortion because he or she is afraid that they will go to jail for saving the life of this woman. So this woman in Texas recently was carrying around her baby dead in the womb, which can kill her, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 2 weeks before she could get that the health care that she needed.
It's absolutely horrible. I don't even recognize the country anymore, or the fact that people think that this is okay.
Right.
You know.
And this woman's already grieving the loss of right. a child that she wanted
right.
wholeheartedly. These right. I think that many people are gonna see these situations, that these unexpected situations crop up over and over and over with the loss of women's health care choices. And I'm hoping it gets people out to the polls in November, and we have to come out en masse and vote blue.
Right. Absolutely.
There's no other way.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's really torture for women. It's scary and never should have happened. So let's hope everyone gets out to vote and we can make better decisions. Women have the right to autonomy. They have the right to make their healthcare choices. Physicians shouldn't have to worry about losing their license or going to jail for delivering healthcare to a woman who needs it.
Imagine if men had their right for control of their own body taken away from them.
Right.
Imagine.
Yeah.
It's how they would rise up. It's what if we said, oh, you have to get a vasectomy at a certain age? Imagine if that happened. Do you think the men would rise up?
Absolutely, they would.
What if we said that, you know, they can no longer masturbate because they're spreading their seed?
Well, my question is, why isn't there some sort of law against masturbation? They are wasting their sperm.
Wasting seed.
Right.
I'm sure there's something about wasting seed in the Bible. Let's get on that, Wendy.
Yeah. So, well, coming up next, my interview with Reverend Erica Eckensberger. Joining me now is Reverend Erica Eckensberger. An ordained minister, Erica was ordained in 1999 after attending Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis, Indiana. She has served congregations, but has based most of her ministry in social justice issues. She has devoted her life to causes such as homelessness, the mentally ill, developmentally disabled, LGBTQ+, and substance abuse issues. Welcome to the show, Reverend Erica.
Thank you, Wendy. It's a pleasure to be here.
So today we're talking about abortion, which is a very emotionally charged issue. And I'm really glad that you're here to help us all sort out some of our emotions and thoughts about this topic. I never thought in my lifetime or anyone's lifetime that we would see things kind of roll backwards as we have. And the young women that are coming up today, that are coming of age, are going to have less rights than their mothers did.
I know.
Is really shocking, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you were growing up, were you aware that you had the right to abortion? Was it a topic in your household or in your church even?
Not really. It really wasn't discussed in my house. My mother was more on the conservative side, so I may have heard a little bit about it, but not really.
Okay. And then what kind of made you decide to become a minister? It takes a lot of schooling and, you know, education and work to become a minister. What kind of brought you in that direction?
Honestly, I made the decision when I was 12 years old. I got to go see Martin Luther King's wife, Coretta Scott King, speak at Christian Theological Seminary, which is why I chose that seminary. And from that point on, I was hooked, and God doesn't let you go that easy. So I got chased down, and here I am.
Do you believe there should be a separation of church and state?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would like to think they say there is, but let's just face the reality of it. There isn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always thought that there was, and it's shocking to me what's going on right now. So I was raised in the Jewish faith, and I was taught it with regard to abortion. You know, we were always taught in our faith and in my home that that the woman who is pregnant is most important until the baby is actually born. It's not the concern. The concern is the woman healthy mentally, physically? Is she capable? Does she want this child? You know, she's the main concern, right? And right. So abortion as a healthcare option kind of made sense to me, because if we're thinking in that way, then it has to be an option, because she may not be healthy and fit and ready to have a baby. And so I grew up, you know, knowing that abortion was a right and an option by the time I was a teenager. So when you say, there's not really a separation, it really hits me in the heart, you know, because the way I grew up, I always thought that there had to be. I thought that was part of the basis of our country, you know. Mm-hmm. And since you're in the ministry, it's really important what you think about that. I think some other ministers might say, well, we're a Christian country. I don't know. What are your thoughts about that?
I don't believe that we're strictly a Christian country. I mean, we came together as a melting pot. I celebrate all religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Jewish mm-hmm. tradition. And that's what I thought America was.
Right.
A collaboration of all these different faiths. And I've always felt like to see the fullest face of God, you have to have all those counter pieces
mm-hmm.
to make that happen.
In the Christian Bible, does it say anything about abortion? And is abortion considered a sin?
Well, that's the interesting thing. There really isn't anything said specifically about abortion.
Well, I think what happens frequently with scripture is that it's open to interpretation.
Yes.
Although some people of faith will say the word is exactly as it's written, but interpretation and perception is just part of reading something. What you get from it is going to be different than what I get from it and the next person, perhaps, right? So I've never understood that line of thinking, that it's exactly as it's written, because it's not worded in a way that's direct.
It's open to interpretation, and it's a living document. It still speaks to us today, but you have to look at the context. You have to look at the Greek. You have to look at the background of when the scripture was actually written, and then you can adapt it to today's world.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these scriptures were written in times that are very different from our own, and that has to be taken into context.
Do you think it's possible for people to ever understand that it is healthcare, and that there are many different situations where it's needed and useful and will save a woman's life? Is it possible to help people to understand that and sort of take God out of it and put it between a woman and her doctor?
I would like to think it is, but when you asked me to do this interview, I actually started looking into some things. And what really frightened me is some of the things that I had found. One being the argument that only 1% of the population has to face this issue. Well, that in 2022, the population was 332,403,650 people. 1% of that number is 332,407 lives.
It's a lot of lives.
It is a mm-hmm. lot of lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not looked at like that. It's simply said 1%.
It sounds a whole lot different than the other number, right?
If you do the math, it does. And so the number of children that are actually conceived from rape each year in the U.S. ranges from 7,750 to 12,500.
It's not an easy decision ever for a woman.
No.
I have met many women in my life who have had abortions, and not one of them felt happy about it. You know?
No.
It haunted them for the rest of their life, even when it was to save their own life. So I find it really disrespectful that someone would say, well, you know, if it's God's will, or let's look at the miracles. You know, we're talking about women's lives.
We're talking about women's lives. And we're also talking about, I think what this country misses in this argument is when they emphasize childcare and they emphasize that we cannot kill an innocent fetus, what they realize, what they don't realize, is that baby is going to be born. Where are our child care laws?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on in the schools with guns right now?
Right.
That's preservation of life.
Right. Right.
But this topic gets dropped as far as the child is born, but as a country, we don't talk any further about it.
Right. There's not, here's all the support we're going to give this woman and this child that we forced into this world. No Absolutely. One's talking about that. Right. Yeah. It's a really complicated issue. So you've spent most of your career really working on social issues. What do you think our next steps would be? Because Roe versus Wade has been overturned. And, you know, what do you think we could do now to move forward, to help women, to maybe try to change it somehow?
I think we have to keep speaking up. We have to keep protesting. We have to make our voice heard. And it sounds like it's, you know, coming up on the ballot. I know, you know, a lot of it's being looked at statewide now so that the Supreme Court doesn't quite have as much weight. But as a woman, I will not stop fighting for this. I get very angry about it for my stepdaughter, because she should have the right to make her own choice. I don't have the right to make any choices for anyone except myself.
Right.
And that's been taken away from her.
Right. It's really so sad, maddening, disheartening, you know, and for the young women in our lives, you know, it's scary, really. You know, some ministers use their influence to, you know, let women know that they really don't deserve this right. And the men in their lives, they've, you know, I would say, you know, been brainwashed even in some cases. So it's really nice to hear a minister talk about this in this way, and that women need to have a choice, and that we're not talking about God's will, really.
We're also not talking about, in my belief system, a condemning God. God wants us, Buddhists say, that God wants the woman to make the most compassionate and best choice for herself. Again, it's emphasizing the woman, not looking at the fetus as something that can make that choice.
Right.
And we forget that. And that's just wrong.
Yeah. You know, like I said, in the Jewish faith, it's looked at it similarly. And I don't know about, you know, other faiths. It's just, we, you know, we do have a Christian majority in this country. And I did not grow up in a part of the country where we had, you know, really right-wing Christians that take things so literally. So it's been really kind of almost bizarre listening to some of the talk and from Christian ministries about this topic. But I really appreciate what you're doing. And I'm so glad that you joined me today to give people, you know, a different perspective and something more to think about, because unfortunately it's already been overturned. This is what we're left with. And we, as you said, we just need to keep talking about it, stepping forward, doing what we can to affect the vote.
it will be overturned. We will win on this. I'm determined.
Thank you. Thank you for all your fine work. And thanks so much for joining me today. And we're back. Thanks for listening and watching the show. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button, make a comment, and like. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
So I, you know, since June, since Roe versus Wade was overturned, mm-hmm. I've been on this emotional roller coaster about it, and really yeah. thinking about all the women who fought so hard to get us where we were. You know,
I know.
I worked
I know
from
it's sad. A lot of people were really frustrated, sad, heartbroken.
Right.
And
I
afraid.
Worked for a small mom and pop rehab company years ago, and it was a husband and wife, and the wife had worked really hard on women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
When she got married, you know, she couldn't even have a credit card in her own name.
Right.
And she was determined to have women be equal to men, be able mm-hmm. to make their own decisions over their body, over their finances, everything. And I am really unclear as to why fundamentalist Christians wouldn't want that for their daughters, for their wives, except for control issues. There's
yeah.
no other way around it.
Yeah, it's all about controlling women, keeping them in their place.
Mm-hmm.
Man-made religion. They want to stay in power.
Right. And, you know, I come from a line of really strong, capable women. And it just boggles my mind that anyone would want to step backwards.
There's also issues where a woman mm-hmm. who said they absolutely knew that they never wanted to have children
mm-hmm.
and the doctor wouldn't let them have their tubes tied.
Yeah, that really never changed. Even here in Massachusetts, I knew young women who either didn't want to have more babies, already knew that in their late mm-hmm. 20s, or didn't want to have babies at all, right? And
right.
why can't she make that decision? It's her decision. So if later she decides she made a mistake, she only has herself to blame, so to speak. It's her choice, though. You know,
in many cases,
yeah.
they also wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it without the man's permission, the husband's permission.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just insane to me to think that we're still at that place where
right.
man has ownership over a woman's body.
Mm-hmm. Well,
on that note,
we'll keep fighting, and we know many women that are going to continue the fight until women, you know, truly can be autonomous mm-hmm. and in every way. And
there's going to be a lot more men taking up the fight too. We have allies and our male counterparts. And I think there's just going to be a huge wave of voters this November. I'm hoping.
I hope so
we are going to have to put our passports to use.
Right, right. For sure. Yeah. I mean, so as a mother, a woman, I, you know, raised two sons and made sure that they understood that men and women are equal, and that a woman has the right to make choices over her own life, over her own body. And I'm really proud of that. They both are, you know, feminists and are really appalled at the situation. And I think there are a lot of young men in that position where they're ready to stand with us and really make some changes so that we can have true equality.
The Ed Show is sponsored in part by
The Relevant App, 131 Inclusion Gallery, Irie Bliss Wellness, Lindsay Camp with Synergy One Lending,